Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, who's ready to let some baggage go today? All right, well, we're talking about emotional baggage. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm really glad you're here today. The truth of the matter is we all have some degree of baggage. Everybody has some a little more, some a little less. But our goal here today is that we all have a little less, right? Doesn't that sound good? And so we're going to talk about some things. And today my prayer is that we're going to silence the lies that we often believe in our minds. We're just going to take care of those lies. We're going to replace them with the truth of God's word. Amen? We're going to silence those negative voices from the past, and we're going to embrace the truth of what God says about us right now. Amen? You know, we touched on this a little bit at the beginning of service. I just want to encourage anybody in here today, you don't have to get somewhere for God. God is right where you're at. Amen? Sometimes we think like, oh, well, when I stop doing this, then God will help me. Or when I get through this problem, then God will help me. No, God wants to help you right here, right now, right where you are. God knows all the baggage. He knows all the mess. He knows all the hurt. He knows everything about you. But he still said, come unto me, all, right, who are heavy laden. And what's he going to do? He's going to give you some rest. Amen? And so I just want you to get, so I just believe in my spirit, not to sound all super spiritual, but I just believe in my spirit. Somebody's in here today and you're like, well, that would work for me if. No, it will work for you now. Amen? It will work for you now. God loves you. God cares about you. God's not going to love you any more or any less than he does right now. And so whatever's going on, whatever's happening, whatever those thoughts are in your mind, you just got to say no. I'm going to hear the word. God is going to meet me right here, right now, and help me. Amen? I'm going to walk out of here changed today. That's our prayer. We pray for every service. Before we pray all week long for this service today, and our number one prayer is that people walk out changed by the power of God. And I believe that's going to happen today. Turn over your Bibles. We are doing the handout again today. It went so well last week. Everybody liked it, so we thought we'd do it again. Help everybody out. Give you something to take notes on, but what I'm going to read to you now is not in your notes, because there's only so many scriptures that will fit on that little piece of paper, right? And so we're going to be talking today a lot about Saul. Dun, dun, dun. Not Saul who turned into Paul, that's in the New Testament. We're going to talk about Saul from the Old Testament. And so what's happening here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, you can turn your Bibles there if you want to, is that the children of Israel, they're crying out for a king. Now we know the children of Israel, those are God's people in the Old Testament. Now we're all God's people, right? And so, but they're crying out and they're saying, we want a king. They didn't have a king. And that wasn't God's original plan for them. But they wanted a king. You know why? Because all the other nations had a king. And they wanted to be like everybody else. Sound familiar? Whenever you think the Bible isn't relevant to where you are today, why don't you read it? And you'll find that all the problems that the people in the Bible have are the same problems that we have. And the same God that helped them is the same God that helps us, right? And so they're crying out for a king. They're saying, we want a king. Everybody else has a king, so we want a king. And so God decided to give them a king. And so over here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, this is when the prophet Samuel, he's a prophet of God and in the Old Testament, and that's not where you and I live, amen. Where do we live? We're over in the New Testament, where we live under grace and we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the Old Testament like paves the way for the new. And so when we read things in the Old Testament, it brings light to the New Testament. But I'm not under that anymore. I live in the New Testament. Amen? All right, here we go. That's the teacher in me coming out. And I want to make sure we're all on the same page, right? So we're going to just learn some lessons from the past. How many want to learn lessons from somebody else? You know, sometimes people say, well, experience is the best teacher. That's true, but the really tough and hard things, I'd rather learn from someone else's experience so I don't have to go through it. Doesn't that sound smarter? And so we're going to learn from what happened with Saul. So here we are, we're in the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, the prophets were the voice of God. Amen? And so to hear from God, you had to hear from a prophet, hear through a prophet. And so the prophet's name is Samuel. And so here we are, and Samuel comes, and he anoints Saul as the very first king over Israel, because they wanted a king. And so God sends Samuel to anoint Saul. And Samuel tells him multiple things here in chapter 10. He tells him all these things that are going to come to pass to confirm what he is saying. So Samuel goes to Saul and he says, listen, everybody knows who the prophet is. And he says, God is anointing you. He's picked you. You're going to be the king over Israel. And all these things are going to happen to confirm what I'm telling you is true. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 9, all these signs were fulfilled that day. How many know that's pretty good indication that it's true, right? And so what's happening is there's 12 tribes of Israel. So I still got everybody? Everybody's like, Old Testament. It's awesome. How many like action movies? If you like action movies, you should read the Old Testament, because it's like a big action movie, but it's real. And so all 12 tribes of Israel are coming, and they're coming to present themselves to the king, and they're coming to show their support for the king, and the Lord told them to come. And so they're all making this big announcement that for the very first time, Israel's going to have a king, all right? And so in verse number 22, this is when it's time for Saul's big moment, and he's missing. He's missing. And so in verse number 22 out of the New Living Translation, you're going to love this. It says, they asked the Lord, where is he? I mean, it's a big deal. All the people of Israel have come to see the king, but he's nowhere to be found. And so they asked the Lord, they say, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. He's hiding out. He's hiding among the baggage. He doesn't want to be found. In verse number 23, it says, so they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above anyone else. In verse number 24, it says, then Samuel said to all the people, this is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in all Israel is like him. And all the people shouted, good job, good job. All the people, let's do it one more time. All the people shouted,
long live the king.
I like it. All right. And so here's Saul. They find him first. He's hiding out. And here's what happened. Saul had all of the physical attributes. He had all the things. He stood out among everybody else. But he was carrying some emotional baggage that ultimately would lead to his downfall. Because if you know the Old Testament, if you study it out, you'll realize, and when I say this name, you're going to be like, I've heard of him. Saul was later replaced by David. How many remember David? David and Goliath. And so God had a plan, but because Saul did not deal with the emotional inside baggage that he had it all going on the outside, but on the inside, he had some stuff going on. He didn't deal with it. And because of that, it led to his downfall. He wasn't able to fulfill the plan that God had for him. How many know God doesn't make mistakes? If God calls you, you can do it, and you can finish, and you can finish well. And unfortunately, that didn't happen with Saul because he had some stuff he had to deal with. And so today, we're going to talk about 5 emotional bags. And it's going to be great. We're going to talk about these 5 emotional things that really probably all of us deal with to a level. But you know what? The holidays are coming. 2017 is around the corner. It's going to be here before we know it. Wouldn't it be great to go into 2017 with a whole lot less baggage? Wouldn't it be great to go into the holidays to see our families and enjoy the holidays without the baggage of insecurity and all those kind of things? It's going to be great. So let's get rid of this baggage today so that tomorrow can be better. Amen? But let's do it. So here we go. If you're going to take notes, we're going to start here. And the question is, what internal baggage are you carrying or hiding behind? Isn't that what Saul was doing? They said, where is he? He's hiding in the baggage. And sometimes we can hide in that baggage. And so what internal baggage are you carrying around, or we carrying around, or hiding behind? It comes in all shapes, sizes. It can pop up when you least expect it. But here's the reason. All five of these begin with in. They begin with I-N, because all of them deal with stuff that's going on the inside. Because you know what's going to sabotage relationships? What's going on the inside. A lot of times when we see what's happening, we see the fruit of it. We see the outward sign of things. But what's really going on is something on the inside. And so all five of these bags, they start with N, because we're going to deal with inside stuff. And I know we'd much rather have a run around the building meeting and get all excited and just talk about how much God loves you, and God does love you, but if we don't deal with this baggage, we can run around and we can raise our hands and we can be excited for the Lord, but when you still got a bunch of junk on the inside, it does not last. Amen? We want real life change. And real life change is from the inside out. Amen? I don't want a church that fakes it. I want a church that has real life change. In order to have real life change, you got to address and talk about real life stuff. And real life stuff, there's a whole lot of people that are carrying emotional baggage that is causing pain, it's causing dysfunction in relationships, it's causing them not to fulfill the plan of God for their life, it's causing a whole lot of problems. And so we just got to make a decision. You know what? I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with it. And so here we go. Number one. And here's why I want you to just get this point. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Get this point. You're never going to accomplish outward purpose until you deal with inward baggage. Isn't that good? You're never going to accomplish outward purpose until you deal with inward baggage. Some of us got some goals, we got some dreams, we got some things that we believe God has called us to do, and some desires in our heart that are from the Lord, desires for promotion, desires for success, desires for lots of things. You're not going to get those until you deal with inside stuff. And so the first inside thing we're going to deal with today is that feeling of being insignificant. Insignificant. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, this is Samuel, and he's talking to Saul, and he says, I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes. Nothing like a little pressure, right? He says, I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes. And here's what Saul replied in verse number 21. He says, but I'm only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe. And so he says, listen, out of the 12 tribes of Israel, I'm from the smallest one. And from the smallest tribe, I'm from the family who's the least in everyone. And then he says, why are you talking to me about this? Why are you even talking to me? And you know what? That's exactly what we do a lot of times. We say, you know what? I'm just one guy. I'm just one person in 6 billion people. What am I going to do? How's God going to use me? Out of all these people, God has zeroed in on you, on me. You know why? Because we're valuable, and he has a plan for our lives. Amen. You know, the lie is you're not important. Your life won't make a difference. That's the lie. But the truth is you are chosen. God says, I choose you. He says, I want you. You are vital. You are valuable. We are valuable to the purpose God has on this earth. There is somebody, there is something that God is going to use you to do. And so we can't fall for that lie that says, I'm nobody, nothing I do is going to matter, because that is not true. Every person on this planet has a purpose from God. Amen? And so we don't want to fall for that lie that says, oh, you're nobody. You're insignificant. What you do doesn't matter. Nothing you say matters. Nothing you do matters. Those are lies from the pit of hell. God has a plan for you. You know, I was telling at first service, I had a fun thing happen on Thursday night. It was so exciting, and we were out to dinner, and we went to this nice restaurant in Boca, and we're sitting there, and across the table, like just for me to like Pastor Chris here, there's Don King. Some of you are like, who? Who's Don King? Remember Don, you know Don King, he's got the crazy hair, and he was one of the first big-time boxing promoters, the Rumble in the Jungle, all that kind of stuff, you know? And so anyway, so he's sitting there, and I'm with my sister-in-law and my brother, and my sister-in-law, she's never met a stranger, and she's like, walks over, hey, Don, I'm Donna, you know? And so, you know, we start chit-chatting, and he's so nice, and he says, oh, come here, I want to show you this video. And so we watch this video that he made on his telephone, and we're watching this whole video, and he's talking, and he's waiting for his dinner guests to come, and just super, super nice. And then they wanted their picture, and so I took the picture and everything. And so then we go back to our table, and we order our food, and it takes forever to get our food because my brother orders something complicated, right, you know? And so it's like 2.5 hours later when we're leaving. I know, right? And so 2.5 hours later, and in this time, people are walking by Don King's table, and they're talking to him and getting their picture with him and things. Because, you know, he's a pretty big deal. And now when we first met him, he knew Donna's name because she introduced herself. And then he said, what's your name? And I said, I'm Peggy. And my brother Mike says, I'm Mike. And so we go sit at our table. 2.5 hours later, we get up to leave, and we say, you know, nice meeting you, Mr. King, and we're leaving. You know what he says? Hey, Donna, see you later. Hey, Peggy, it was nice meeting you. Mike, nice meeting you. 2.5 hours later, this guy who's had people coming by, he's eating, he's having like a business dinner or whatever, he remembered our names. And I thought, man, that's pretty impressive, right? I mean, it's so nice. I'm not anybody special. Don King doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know anything about me. But he remembered my name. But you know what's even better than that? God, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the great I Am that we just sang about, he knows your name. Amen? Amen? He knows every thought in your head. He knows every hurt in your heart. He knows every hair on your head. And some people are making that a little easier than others for him, you know. But God knows you. He knows you. And, you know, when we walked out of that restaurant, we were kind of like, Don King knows my name, right? But the thing about it is, every day we should walk around, God knows my name. He knows me. He knows me. And I tell you, when we recognize the truth that sometimes the world and our own thoughts make us feel like a zero, don't they? But the truth of the matter is, to God, he says you're a hero. You're not a zero to God. You're everything to God. You're everything. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's who we are. Last week, we got a new identity. I hope everybody's been reading their new identity all week long of who you are, who you really are. Because sometimes our mind and the world will try to tell us, you don't matter. But the truth is, I matter to God. I'm important to God. God has a plan for my life. Before I was even in my mother's womb, God knew me and had a plan for me. Amen. If you struggle with feeling insignificant, here's why. You don't know the plan of God for your life. You don't know the value of you. There are people that only you can reach. But sometimes when things are so big and things look so big or somebody else looks so successful, we can think, well, why should I even bother? They got it covered. You know, I mean, there's a part of us, you know, as a pastor where, you know, you just want to say, listen, let's just show Joel Osteen on the screen because he's awesome. He's amazing. He makes us laugh. He's great. He's reaching millions of people. Let's just let him do it. But you know what? There's people that Joel's going to reach, and he's doing amazing, and there's things that he's doing, and God is using him in a unique and amazing way. But that doesn't mean there's still not room for us to be used in a unique and amazing way. Amen? We are not insignificant. Number two on your notes is inadequate. Oh, this one gets so many of us. The lie is, it says, you're not good enough. Anybody ever told you that? Usually it's ourselves telling us that. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. You're lacking ability. You don't have the smarts. You don't have the education. You don't have the background. You don't have the skills. You don't have anything you need to do what God's called you to do. So we say, why should I even try? Why bother when I don't have anything that I need? But I tell you what, there is a truth that is much bigger than that. But first, let's think about somebody in the story is going to sound a little familiar. How many know the story of Gideon? You ever heard of him? An angel appears to Gideon and he says this. He says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The angel said that to Gideon. He says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But in Judges chapter 6, verse number 15, here's what Gideon says. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that kind of what Saul said? And here's Gideon saying the same thing. He's like, who am I to do that? I'm not a mighty warrior. My clan is the weakest, and of the weakest, I'm the weakest. And so what happens here? We are always looking to our own abilities without God. And when you look to your own abilities without God, you're never going to measure up. That's why you have to have your identity, who you are, and not what you feel, not what people say, not what it says on your birth certificate, but you have your identity in what God says about you. Because when you do that, when God speaks, you're going to say, I believe that. Amen? It doesn't matter where I'm from, but God. It doesn't matter what I know, but God. Doesn't matter where I've been, but God. Amen? But here's Gideon. He's saying the same thing because we look at our past, we look at our upbringing, we look at our experiences, and we say, how could God use me? How could God use me with all this? But you know, really, if we understand how God works, and when you read the Bible from the beginning to the end, you'll notice that God is always using the least expected person to do the most amazing things. So if God speaks to you and you're like the least expected person to do it, you could be, all right, I'm exactly who God's looking for. I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. I'm from the least family. I got the most dysfunctional family. We would star and do our own series on Jerry Springer. It is so bad. I am exactly who God is looking for. Amen? I'm exactly who God's looking for. Because that's who it seems like God uses. And so it's so amazing to see because the lie is always going to say, you're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. You're from the wrong place. You're this, you're that. But we got to know the truth. The truth is, I am equipped and I am empowered by God himself. Isn't that so good? Listen to this verse in Hebrews chapter 13. It's verses 20 and 21. It says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, How many know that's pretty good? Pretty good introduction, right? He says, may that God equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to him, to whom be glory forever and ever. I want you to just stare at that word in verse number 21, equip you. See, God's going to equip you to do his will. And when we are equipped, that means we've got everything we need to do the job. Equipment is important. How many football fans do we have in here?
Yeah.
Got a lot of football fans? You know, in first service, we had some diehard Patriot fans. And then in the next row, we have the diehard Dolphins fans. Then in the next row, we had more Patriots fans. I said to Mary the Dolphin, I was like, you're surrounded by Patriot fans there. But the thing about it is that when we watch football, let's say, you know, Tom Brady, he's so famous, everybody knows who he is. If Tom Brady walked out onto the football field to play professional football on a Sunday afternoon with no equipment, no helmet, no pads, no sneakers, you know, just shorts and a t-shirt. No matter how good he is naturally, without that equipment, he's going to get seriously injured. Because number one, nobody likes him, right? I mean, people don't like him. They don't like him for whatever reason. I'm not a football fan. I don't know. They don't like him. And so, you know, they're just going to be going for him. I got news for you. There's a lot of people that don't like you. There's an enemy that doesn't like you, doesn't want you to succeed, doesn't want you to get that touchdown, doesn't want you to have the best day of your life. And if you walk out there without the equipment on, you're going to get seriously injured. But the good news is, I don't have to walk out without the equipment. Because the Bible tells me right here in Hebrews, it says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Man, that's my God. That's Jesus. That's the one who gave his life for me. That is the redeemer of my soul. That is Jesus. May he equip me with everything good for doing his will. When you are walking out to do what God has called you to do, we need to say, I am equipped with everything I need. Quit listening to those lies that say, you don't have what it takes. You're not the right person. You're not this. You're not that. If God has called you to it, if he has put it into your heart, if it is the plan of God for your life, he will equip you. Amen? He will give you everything you need to do the job. We're not inadequate. We are equipped and empowered by the King of Kings. Amen? Whatever you face, that promotion at work, when the Lord's stirring on you to step out and for that success, that dream that's on the inside of you, and the enemy immediately comes and says, not you, not you, you can say, no, exactly me. Amen? Exactly me. Because I am equipped and I am empowered by the King of Kings. Amen? What I don't have, God gives me. Right? What I don't have, God gives me. Some of the best advice I ever got when I first became a senior pastor, my brother had just passed away, and my pastor, everybody needs a pastor. I have a pastor. Everybody needs a pastor. My pastor said to me, I was like, you know, just my head was everywhere, you know? I mean, it's just a lot. And he took me, and he put his hands on my shoulders, and he said, Peggy, you will know what to do because of the position you are in. God has anointed you. God has equipped you. God will give you everything you need to do what God has called you to do. And there have been many times from that day so long ago where the thoughts have come, man, what am I going to do? What direction do we go? What's the answer? And I tell you, those words have risen up in me. And instead of continuing to say, I don't know what to do, what's going to happen, you know, which so often we do, I just say those words that he says to me. I said, I know what to do because I am equipped I am anointed. God has placed me here, and he's going to get me through. Amen? Quit looking at problems like you don't have the answer. The answer is in you. Amen? Because God himself is in you. I'm equipped. That's what some of you guys, you just need to walk into work saying, I'm equipped and anointed. I am empowered for this job today. Amen? I've got all the answers I need. I have the favor that I need. I have all the ideas that I need. I have all the wisdom that I need. I am equipped and empowered today. Amen? Oh, wouldn't tomorrow be a better work day if you did that? It would be. It would. You say, well, I don't even like my job. Listen, let God do what he wants to do with you there. Amen? If God has you there, it's for a reason. And if you're not supposed to be there, then believe God to remove you out of there. Amen? Don't just take it because it came. Release your faith wherever you are. That's what your faith is for. That's just a freebie. That's a freebie. I tell you. And just to stop for a sec. It's the Holy Ghost. God's not going to send you out fired. Whenever God moves you, he moves you from the top over. Amen? Don't let the enemy have his way. You have favor where you're at. You have favor, supernatural favor where you are. Begin to speak favor where you are. Begin to speak the word over that job that you have. And if you say, well, I don't even want to be here, well, then let God bless you there and show his hand and show his mighty power and then move on. Amen? Don't go out with your tail between your legs, a victim. Go out on top. That's how God wants to do it. That's, again, freebie. Let's keep going. You are equipped and empowered. I just want to encourage you, especially parents. Man, if you ever needed the anointing, it's to be a parent, right? If you ever did, because kids are different. You know, there's some kids, all you got to do is look at them. You know, that's how I was. If my dad just looked at me the right way, I'd be like, you know, and I it's just how I was, but I had other brothers and sisters. They weren't like that. They weren't like that. It took a little more convincing for them. And so, but you know what? Thank God for you parents that you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you to anoint you, to equip you, to parent each of your children exactly how they need to be parented. That strong-willed child that you have, God will lead you, guide you, and direct you on how to not break them, but just bend them in the way that they need to be bent. Amen? God has the answers you need. Quit saying, I don't know. Quit saying, I don't know what to do. Quit looking for answers in all the wrong places, amen? And start looking for them in the place where they're found. They are found in him. They're found in Jesus. We are equipped. Say that with me. Say, I'm equipped. And I'm empowered. Number three is, oh, this is a tough one. It's intimidation and fear. Oh, this gets everybody. Now back to Saul here. It says in 1 Samuel 15:1, it says, one day Samuel said to Saul, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people Israel. Now listen to this message from the Lord. How many know if you get a message from God, you better listen to it, right? He says, now listen to this message from the Lord. Verse number 2 says, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. He said, I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Verse number 3. Now this is a tough one to hear. Look at your neighbor, say, get ready. It's a tough one. He says, now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels. Don't forget the donkeys. He's saying, go and destroy all of them. Now, some people, you know, when you hear that, you're like, what? Why would God do that? Here's what. You guys ready? This is in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there's no grace. The New Testament is grace, where Jesus came. And so things that happened in the Old Testament, they did happen, but it was a different time, a different day, a different what's called dispensation. Different dispensation. We don't live there. Somebody say, we don't live there. It's the same God, but now we're under the dispensation of grace, okay? So when we read these things, don't get hung up on them, because we're not there. We're in the New Testament, amen? But here's why. You say, well, why would God do that? Here's why God would do that. Because these people, I was trying to think of a word this morning, these people had, this whole people group had become so defiled by sin and debauchery and hatred and murder, just anything bad you can think of, they were operating in it like times a million. And there was no repentance or hope for change in them. This is how they were. And they came against God's people and they would not back down. So God had to take care of it. He had to take care of his people. And so God instructed the children of Israel. He instructed Saul to go and take care of that. And you know why they had to take care of everything? Because I remember my Old Testament Bible school teacher in college. He said, you know what baby Amalekites grow up to be? Big Amalekites. Big ones. And God knew. What does the Bible say? A little leaven spoils the whole thing. He said he had to take care of this to protect his people. And so he tells Saul, he says, go and take care of that. And so they go up there, the army goes up there, and they take care of everything. And verses 8 and 9, he says, this is what Saul did. He captured Agag. How many know that's not a very good name, right? He captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everything else. Verse number 9, Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep, the goats, the calves, the cattle, the fatted calves, and the lambs. Listen, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed what was worthless or of poor quality. Verse number 11 said, the Lord is grieved that he made Saul king. We need to make a decision right now. I never want to grieve the Lord. Amen? God always loves me. Always. His love for me never, ever, ever, ever changes. But God is not always pleased with what I do. His love does not change. And so here, the Bible says the Lord is grieved that he made Saul king. In 1 Samuel 15:7, Samuel goes to him and he says, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And he said, you did not obey. And at first, if you read it, Saul lied about it. He lied about it to a prophet. How many know it's not a good idea to lie to a prophet? Right? Because they know a thing or two. And so he lied about it, and Samuel said, then why do I hear sheep? Why do I hear sheep baying in the background? And so Saul came clean about it, and this is what he said. He said, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions, and here's why. He says, I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. I was afraid of the people, so I gave in to them. He violated a direct instruction from God himself. And when they said, why'd you do that? He said, I was afraid of the people, so I gave in. Now, we can all sit here on Sunday in our pew looking good. We're at church and be like, that's Saul. How could he? No. We need to put a big fat mirror up in front of our face because we've all done it. When have we ever sat in a conversation that was totally violating so many things? When have we ever sat and listened to a joke that was crude and lewd and we shouldn't have even heard it? But we went along because we didn't want to not be liked. We didn't want to be the outside guy. Intimidation and fear will cause you to give in to things that have no place in your life. And it will, the outcome is never good. Never. The lie is you don't fit in. You don't belong. You're not one of us. Intimidation causes us to conform or bend, alter our course of direction for something else. Have you ever had something you knew that God had told you to do, and yet because of something that happened, or something someone said, or natural circumstances, you totally didn't do it, didn't go? I know I've done that. I was supposed to go to Rhema Bible College, had it all set up, had already been to Get Acquainted weekend, already had my roommate, I met her while I was out there, already been accepted, everything working out for me, all good, woo, it's going to be great. And then I met this guy. Lord, help me. And he was fun, and he was nice, and he was what I thought was a Christian. But all along, I knew I was violating the plan of God for my life. And so you know what? Registration day came. Guess who wasn't there? First day of school came. Guess who wasn't there? The whole year passed. Guess who never went? I'm making it easy for you. Me. It was the plan of God. I didn't go. Thank God. God will come to you again and give you another chance. Amen. But all the hurt, the damage, the pain that I went through for violating, just being somewhere I shouldn't have been. But you know what happened? You know, the snowball, sometimes we look at the big part. But if you back up, you can come back to a moment where a decision was made. And here's the moment that came. My friend called. Hey, we're all getting together. Really want to see you before you leave. Bring in some friends. You got to come. I was like, no, I really can't come. I don't want to go. You guys are going to be at a place I shouldn't be. I'm not. Come on. Don't be a religious freak. Come on. You know, all that. I was like, okay, I'll come. What happened? I didn't want to hurt her feelings. I didn't want to not be part of the, I didn't want to miss out on anything. I'll tell you, I didn't miss out on anything. Bad. I was in the wrong place, wrong time, and it had a snowball effect. Those small decisions can lead to big consequences. That's why it's so important. Don't let intimidation and fear make decisions for you. Let the voice of God make decisions for you. Amen. Let's decide. I want all my decisions, all my steps, everything I do to line up with his word, with the plan of God for my life. Amen. When we think about that, oh, how much pain and heartache would it save us from? Excuse me. We need to get to the point where we recognize that the audience of one is what's most important. The audience of one. The applause of one. The approval of one. One. And that's God himself. When we get to heaven, we will stand before the Lord. We will. Every one of us. Every one of us. And God's going to want to know, what'd you do with the talent I gave you? There's a story in Matthew 25 of the parable of the talents. One guy is called wicked and lazy. I don't want to hear those two words. You know why he's called that? Because when they ask him, what'd you do with your talents? You know what he said? He says, I was afraid, so I went out and hid my talent in the ground. Why? He was afraid. What's God put in you that you're letting fear keep stuffed in there? God's got something. You know, sometimes people, they say, oh, I can't pray because it's not going to be good enough. I can't share my testimony because I won't know what to say. I can't reach out to people. I can't lay hands on the sick because I don't know. You are equipped and empowered. Don't let fear keep you from doing what God's called you to do. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. The more you know about who God is and how much he loves you, the less you care about what other people think. Amen? The less you care. I can't tell you how many times I've been this person and I've heard this story a million times where somebody said, well, I really wasn't going to do it, but I had this buddy. I never had any desire to get involved in that, but I had this friend. Listen, you need to ditch that friend today because they're not going to lead you anywhere that's going to be where you want to be. Don't let wanting to fit in be more important than wanting to serve God. Because what you do serving God lasts for eternity. Next one, number four, is insecurity. This is such a big one. 1 Samuel 18. I'm sorry, we're doing inconsistency. Number four is inconsistency, and that is just, let's just follow through. Amen? Let's finish. Let's not listen to that lie that says you're a quitter. You never finish anything you start. I'm sure we've all heard that. You're a quitter. You never finish anything you start. Or you tell somebody, hey, I'm going to do this. And, you know, they look at you and just kind of roll their eyes like, oh, I've heard this before, right? You know what? Let that person do whatever they're going to do, but make a decision today that you're going to follow through. Consistency will produce more in you than intense effort ever will. I've told people for years, I'd rather you spend 1 minute a day with God than 7 minutes just one day a week. 1 minute a day is better than trying to cram it all in one day. Because that 1 minute every day is building a relationship. People say, oh, I'm gonna pray for an hour every day, Peggy. And I'm like, don't even start. You're just setting yourself up to fail. Start where you're at. If you're at a minute, start there. Be consistent. If you're at five, start there. But be consistent. Let's follow through. You know, the thing about it is that in this one, this is such a powerful story. And we're going to close up here, but I want you to hear this. Just real, see if how quick I can make it. Saul's son, Jonathan. Everybody got that? Who's Saul? The king. The king's son, Jonathan, grabs his armor bearer. They go up and fight the Philistines. How many have ever heard of the Philistines? Who was a famous Philistine? You guys are geniuses. And so Saul's son, Jonathan, he goes up. Long story short, they start kicking butt and taking names. They are just demolishing the Philistine army, and it's only two of them. And they're just kicking butt, and they're doing all this. And so they're doing such an amazing job. Saul hears about it. He sends the army up there. He says, the Lord is on us. The Lord has anointed us to do this. Then God does an amazing thing, and he freaks out the Philistines, and they start fighting each other and killing each other. How many know that's the best war when your enemy fights each other, right? And so it's going so well. Everything is going great and fantastic. And here's what happens. 1 Samuel 14:46. Then Saul stop pursuing the Philistines. And they withdrew to their own land. This is before Goliath. Saul had the opportunity to wipe him out, but he quit. And here's the thing, when we keep quitting, you're going to face that giant. But if you finish what you start, if you're consistent with God, you may never have to face that giant. Because had he taken care of the Philistines when he had the opportunity, there would be no Goliath. There would be no opportunity for David to come and show everybody who he was. Let's not keep starting and stopping and starting and stopping with God. God wants to get you through. But I can't tell you how many times somebody comes to God, you're a mess. When I came to God, I was a mess. It's going to take consistency to get that all untangled and healed. You can't keep checking in and checking out and checking in and checking out. And then that same person who's in church for a week, out of church for a month, in church for 2 weeks, out of church for 6 weeks, you know, and then they come in and they're like, Pastor, I don't have any victory in my life. I don't know what's wrong. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Really? Are you? Hello? That's not how it works. We got to be consistent with the things of God. And when we're consistent with the things of God, then we're ready for the battle when it comes. You know, sometimes we want to wait. It's like you don't see anybody until all of a sudden their life's just a mess. Their wife wants a divorce. Their kids don't like them. And suddenly they're like, oh, I'm in church every Sunday. Well, that's great and that's awesome and God's going to meet you there. But you know what? Had you done what you were supposed to do and been consistent with it, all these giants that are popping up, you may have been able to avoid them. Go ahead. And that's the truth. Consistency. It's not always fun to hear the word. It's not always fun. It's not always a run around the church service. It's not always a lay hands on the sick. But you know what? I'm tired of doing this, but here's the truth. And everybody may not be able to hear it. I'm tired of people coming up week after week after week after week, year after year after year, and getting hands laid on them, the power of God going in them, but then you go out and you don't take care of the damage on the inside. And then you're like, where's God? Where's God? God's power goes in you, but you still have to be consistent. You got to be consistent. God wants to do things in your life, but you keep tapping in and God does it. And then you're like, oh, I'm good. But you're still like limping and all bruised up and on the inside. And then you come dragging back in. Help me, Lord. And because he loves you so much, he helps you. And he always will. But wouldn't it be better to just stay hooked to the power? Amen. Wouldn't it be better to just stay hooked to the word and let that word continually heal you and strengthen you and change you? Oh, it's so much better. Consistency. Oh, it'll produce in you if you let it. But it is one of the number one killers of relationships with God. Because we're lazy about stuff. And I say we because me too. I struggle too. We all struggle. But we got to look at the reward. The reward for consistency is lasting change. And man, that's what people are hungry for. They're hungry for lasting change. Man, I don't want to be the same in 2017 as I am today. I want to be more healed. Amen? I want that. It's only going to come from consistency. And then the last one is insecurity. Listen, don't think just because somebody else is great, it makes you less than. Don't think, Brother Hagin, you say this all the time, blowing somebody else's candle out doesn't make yours burn any brighter. We're all on the same team. Amen? We're in the family of God. When one of us succeeds, we all succeed. Whether you've got 10,000 at your church, 1,000 at your church, 500, 200, 100, 50, or 20, you're still preaching the gospel. Amen. And doing the will of God. That's right. And that's what matters. Amen. Doesn't matter who sings better or who does this better or who's thinner or who's prettier or who's this or who's that. Let's just all rejoice in the victories of one another. Amen? Let's all rejoice. You know, I remember when I wasn't a senior pastor and people would be like, oh, you know, my pastor doesn't let us preach. And you know why pastors don't let other people on their staff preach? Because they're afraid they're going to be better than them. That's the truth. Because no matter, when you hear me all the time, whoever comes next is fresh and new. We have guest speakers come in, and they're great, and they're wonderful, and a guest speaker can come in, and they can preach the same message that I have preached probably 10 times, and somebody will come up and go, I have never heard that. That was the best message I ever heard. Man, that just, right here, it just changed me. And on the inside, I'm just kind of like, seriously. But then I got to put that part down, and I got to rejoice that it doesn't matter who they got it from. What matters is they finally got it. Yes. Amen. Amen. Or after a service, you know, somebody say, oh, Pastor Angel, he's really good. He's awesome. That was the best message. I rejoice in that. You know why? Because I can go on vacation. I'm so blessed that I can just call up and say, I'm leaving. And the church I know is going to be covered as well or better as if I was here. Because we have Pastor Devon. We got Pastor Steve. We got Pastor Angel. These guys who preach in here on Sunday morning, they do a great job. But you know what? That's what it's all about. We're a team. It's not about one of us. It's about all of us. And so don't let insecurity make you a jerk. Because that's exactly what it does. It doesn't matter how good everybody else is. Let God strengthen you. Amen? Keep your eye on the big picture, that God will make us all great if we let him. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, if anybody here, I know that all of us deal with these things in one way or another. And Lord, I know it's a tough message to hear, but it's a message of truth. So that these lies that the enemy keeps telling us, they can be exposed. And once a lie is exposed, it doesn't have power anymore. Now the truth has the power. Let the truth have the power in you. You are not insignificant. You are not inadequate. You are who God made. Let's put those bags down and let's pick up who we are in Christ. Lord, let that be more real to us than what people say, what our mind says. Let your word be our highest truth, that we are chosen. We are a royal priesthood. We are children of God. We are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. We are blessed. We are empowered to prosper. We are forgiven. We are yours. Lord, let that be our guiding truth. We are yours. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for those who are stepping out and stepping up, that when the voice of insecurity comes and says, who are you? You're not the right person. That, Lord, they will be reminded that they are equipped and empowered by you. Oh, thank you, Lord. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to stir the dreams, to stir the voices, the voice of God on the inside of each one of us, to remind us of your plan for our life. Oh, I ask that in Jesus' name. If you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you say, Pastor Peggy, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I want to know that I am saved on my way to heaven. I want to be forgiven for all of my mistakes, and I want to be empowered to live life here in victory. And I know that all of that comes only through Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So I want to open up my heart and give Jesus all of me, all my mess ups, screw ups, hang ups. I want to give it all to him. And in exchange, I will receive a brand new life in him. If that's you today with nobody looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Anybody before we move on? Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I believe we're all on our way to heaven. And I thank you that every day you help us right where we are. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Let's have the ushers come down. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready to give here this morning? Glory. While you guys are turning there, I saw this on Facebook and I thought it was so good. If you're turning there, while you guys are coming up here, if you're here today and you're feeling a little inadequate, feeling like, who am I? I'm not the person that God's going to use. Listen to this. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a harlot. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal and dealt with depression. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced and living with someone. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And lastly, Lazarus was dead. Amen. It's never too much with God. He can take anybody and turn it around, right? Let's get ready to give. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give.